Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
A king in battle, the Irish-Bolshevik alliance, and a Michigan mosque that looks like a mosque. It's June 1921.
100 years from today.
Your world news update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues in Siberia. Menshevik forces have captured the city of Omsk from the Bolsheviks. Could the Soviet regime be in serious trouble? Japan is transporting men and weapons to reinforce the Menshevik capture of Vladivostok and to prevent the Bolsheviks returning to power there. In Central Europe, they're more worried about the Hungarians. The new nation of Czechoslovakia has signed a treaty of mutual assistance with Romania to prevent any resurgence of Hungarian power. The Allied Reparations Commission has awarded the United States 600,000 tons of confiscated German ships. At the war crimes trials in Leipzig, a German court has declined to convict Karl Neumann. He was the commander of the U-boat that torpedoed a British hospital ship, HMHS Dover Castle, almost exactly 4 years ago. Herr Neumann was acquitted by the court on the ground that he was only obeying orders. More German court news. In Berlin, Sogemann Terlirian has also been acquitted. He was charged with assassinating Talat Pasha, the former Grand Vizier of the Ottoman Empire, 3 months ago.
Everyone in town is always singing the song. Shuffle along, shuffle along. Doctors, bakers, undertakers do a step. That's full of pep and syncopation. Shuffle along and whistle a song. Life's but a chance, and when time comes to choose, if you lose, don't start singing the blues, but just shuffle along and whistle a song. Sometimes a smile will right every wrong. Keep smiling and shuffle along.
In the United States, the all-Negro musical sensation Shuffle Along remains the toast of Broadway. In the Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Negroes have no choice but to shuffle along to new towns, new lives. Their homes and businesses have been destroyed in a massacre that saw authorities lose complete control of the streets.
Oh, shuffle along, shuffle along. My life was a chance, and when time comes to choose, if you lose, don't start singing the blues, but just shuffle along, bad Mr. Blake, and whistle a song. Oh, sometimes a smile will right every wrong. Keep smiling and shuffle along.
Tulsa has now been placed under martial law. Dozens are dead. It is not known what the final toll will be. Meanwhile, in Colorado, there are reported to be even more fatalities, in the hundreds, after heavy rain caused dam bursts on the Arkansas River and Fountain River systems. Water poured into the city of Pueblo, covering the downtown in at least 5 feet of water, and in some places 18 feet. Many shoppers and storekeepers were instantly swept away and drowned. Until earlier this year, Congolese preacher Simon Kimbangu was a conventional Baptist. Then he founded his own church of Kimbanguism and attracted thousands of followers by supposedly healing the sick and raising the dead. The Catholic and Protestant churches and the Belgian authorities grew concerned. Monsieur Morel, the territorial administrator, ordered the arrest of the so-called prophet, but he and his son have managed to escape into the bush.
Roaming long ago, loving Irish
Moonlight in Mayo sounds very beguiling, but mid-afternoon in Mayo can be far more perilous. A vehicle of the Royal Irish Constabulary broke down near Westport, County Mayo, and was being towed by a lorry. While the convoy was passing through Carrow Kennedy, the Republican forces struck. 8 RIC men are dead, including their commander. The other 16 surrendered, were disarmed by the Sinn Féin revolutionaries, and then released. In Dublin, the government's only artillery shell factory on the island of Ireland has been destroyed by Sinn Féin. But the most telling development may be the government's decision to abandon its policy of so-called reprisal burning. That's to say, whenever a unionist home goes up in flames, Republican homes are set alight. Generally speaking, unionists live in more valuable real estate than Republicans do. So as Sinn Féin foresaw, tit-for-tat burnings don't level the economic damage, but do intensify anti-government feeling. Elsewhere in His Majesty's dominions, Canada has a new Governor General, Field Marshal Lord Byng. Commander of the Canadian Corps at Vimy Ridge in the late war, will succeed the Duke of Devonshire as Viceroy in Ottawa. Bungo Byng, as he is known to his friends, inherits far more Canadians than there used to be. The new census shows there's been a 22% increase in population since 1911 for a current total of 8,788,483. The provinces of Alberta and Saskatchewan both grew by over 50%. In the King's Birthday Honours of 1921, His Majesty has made the Canadian manufacturer Douglas Alexander a baronet. Sir Douglas is the president of the Singer Sewing Machine Company and has been recognised for his services to the welfare of workers during the World War. Jahangir Kotari, the Indian businessman and philanthropist, has been knighted. He demolished his own home at Clifton Hill in Karachi to replace it with a magnificent pavilion and pier into the Arabian Sea for the public to enjoy. In sports news, Rome, Amsterdam, Prague, and Los Angeles have come up empty. The International Olympic Committee has voted to award the 1924 Olympic Games to Paris.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air. Can make them hug and squeeze you too. Or if they don't, just say you won't come down until they do. So wait till you get them up in the clouds, boys. There won't be anyone to watch you there. When you get her way up high, have all the fun you can. There never was a girl who'd fall that far for any man. So wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Up, 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 way up in the air.
Looping the loop is supposed to be a sport, but it's a risky one. As we have reported, Laura Bromwell broke records as a female stunt pilot. But at the top of a loop over Long Island, New York, her luck ran out.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Up, 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 way up in the air.
She lost control and her aeroplane plummeted to earth from 1,000 feet. Miss Bromwell is dead at the age of 24. Heinrich Olbers Schoenberg gave his name to Olbers Schoenberg disease, or marble bone disease, and was the first physician to identify osteopetrosis, the hardening and increasing density of bone, or the opposite of osteoporosis. Dr. Albers Schoenberg is dead at 56. His compatriot Ludwig Nohr was a German chemist who developed antipyrine, the first synthetic drug and the most widely used in the world until it was supplanted in recent years by its successor, aspirin. Herr Nohr is dead at 61. Dr. Simon Baruch was one of the most influential public health figures in the United States, a great proponent of hydrotherapy and advocate of municipal bathhouses intended to persuade the great unwashed masses to start washing. He is dead at 71. The Reverend Phoebe Ann Hannaford was a famous Universalist. She was the first female chaplain to the state legislature of Connecticut and the first woman to be ordained as a Universalist minister in New England. Afterwards, she became a pastor of the First Universalist Church in New Jersey, but departed to form the Second Universalist Church in New Jersey after the First Church demanded she fire Ellen Miles, a lady who worked for the church and also lived with the Reverend Hannaford and was generally referred to in the community as the minister's wife. Phoebe Ann Hannaford intended to live to 100, but is dead at 92.
By the sea,
by the beautiful sea,
you and I,
you and I,
oh, how happy we'll be.
When each wave comes a-rolling in,
we will duck or swim,
and we'll float and fool around the water,
over and under,
then up for L.
R is rich,
my is rich,
so now what do we care?
Beside
the sea,
beside the sea,
by the beautiful sea.
Speaking of New Jersey, do you like being by the beautiful sea? Well, thank James Bradley, who bought 500 acres of land east of the New York and Long Branch Railroad tracks and named it after the founder of his church, the American Methodist Francis Asbury, thus Asbury Park. Mr. Bradley also founded the resorts of Ocean Grove and Bradley Beach. He is dead at 91. Your World News Update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. British and French troops in the disputed region of Upper Silesia have created a temporary buffer zone to keep apart the German and Polish populations. Until the World War, the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg enjoyed the protection of Germany. That's not worth much anymore, so Grand Duchess Charlotte has now accepted Belgian protection. Luxembourg has integrated its railways with Belgium, abolished customs with the neighbouring kingdom, and adopted as its currency the Belgian franc. The US Red Cross has been busy in China, but its famine relief program there is now complete. As a result, in a ceremony at Yuchengsang in Shantung province, the Americans have transferred 400 miles of paved roads to the ownership of the Chinese government. King Constantine of Greece has left Athens in order personally to lead his troops in battle against Turkey in the campaign to defend Smyrna.
Everybody loves a baby, that's why I'm in love with you. Pretty baby, and I'd like to be your sister, brother, dad, and mother too. Pretty baby, pretty baby, won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love, and we'll cuddle all the time. Oh, I want to love and baby, and it might as well be you. Pretty baby of mine.
In less turbulent news from Greece, the royal family has a pretty baby of its own, brand new, born on the dining room table of Mon Repos, a villa on the Isle of Corfu. His name is Prince Philip of Greece and Denmark, and he is the nephew of King Constantine. If you'd like to be his mother, sister, dad, and brother too, well, three quarters of those positions are taken by their Royal Highnesses Prince and Princess Andrew and his four older sisters, but he has as yet no brother. These are lively times in southeastern Europe, and it is unclear who will emerge on top. Romania and the new kingdom of Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes have signed a mutual assistance pact. Mutual assistance is breaking out all over. The British government has published the text of a letter and a draft of what appears to be a proposed treaty between Irish Republicans and the government of Soviet Russia. According to Prime Minister Lloyd George's office, prominent Sinn Féiner Patrick McCartan is working with an American lawyer to negotiate the aid of the Bolsheviks for the present revolutionary uprising in Ireland. Meanwhile, in Belfast, the new parliament of Northern Ireland is now now in session. 40 of the 52 members, all unionists, have been sworn in. The other 12 are absent, as they refuse to take the oath of allegiance to the crown. In Dublin, there is no quorum for the Parliament of Southern Ireland. Patrick Maher and Edmund Foley have been hanged at Mountjoy Prison for murder, notwithstanding an appeal for clemency by the father of one of the Royal Irish Constabulary men they killed, Sergeant Peter Wallace. Maher and Foley issued a joint statement before they went to the gallows. Fight on, struggle on, for the honour, glory and freedom of dear old Ireland. Our hearts go out to all our dear old friends. Our souls go to God at 7 o'clock in the morning, and our bodies, when Ireland is free, shall go to Galbally. In the United States, President Harding's administration is committed to fiscal responsibility and government efficiency. So it has created two new federal bureaucracies to take care of that: the GAO, Government Accountability Office, and the OMB, Office of Management and Budget. The Secretary of State, Charles Evans Hughes, has informed Mexico's President Obregón that the Harding administration will not recognize his government until Mexico agrees to discharge its international obligations. The Panamanian foreign minister, Senor Garay, is in Washington to protest the U.S. settlement of the Panama and Costa Rica border, which he regards as unjust to Panama. America is going crazy for all things Mohammedan. E.M. Hull's steamy novel, The Sheik, continues to fly off bookstore shelves. The photoplay adaptation will be on the silver screen in the autumn, starring Agnes Ayres and the sensational new leading man of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, Rudolph Valentino. And in the cabarets at vaudeville houses, there are multiple songs about those Arab lovers. Mohammedan songs, Mohammedan cinema, Mohammedan bodice rippers, and now an authentically Mohammedan house of worship. Hitherto, American practitioners of the Islamic faith have had to content themselves with makeshift mosques in buildings converted from other purposes. But now, in the Detroit suburb of Highland Park, Muslim workers at Henry Ford's Motor Company will be able to worship in the first American mosque consistent with the architectural traditions of their religion, with a dome and minarets, just as in Cairo or Mecca. The new mosque is just 100 yards from the Model T factory and was built by the Syrian Ford worker, now a real estate developer, Mohammed Karob. Everybody is motoring now. Frederick Galbraith, National Commander of the American Legion, was driving in Indianapolis when his motor car went over an embankment. He is dead at the age of 47. Babe Ruth of the New York Yankees is the highest paid Major League Baseball player, so he can no doubt shrug off the $100 he was fined for speeding in his automobile. He was stopped for motoring at 26 miles per hour on a city highway. The home run king was more surprised, however, when the magistrate ordered him to jail. Babe Ruth was confined to his cell at 11:30 in the morning. He was released at 4 in the afternoon, 40 minutes before he was scheduled to bat for the Yankees at the Polo Grounds.
Amor, amor.
Also in sports news, the toreador Ernesto Pastor is dead at 29 at a bullfight in Madrid. He was gored by the bull in his leg and bled profusely. The hemorrhage caused him to go blind. The torero's last words were, "Who turned out the lights?" Harold Harris, a test pilot with the U.S. Army Air Service, has become the first man to fly a pressurized aeroplane. That's to say, a plane that is both safe and comfortable to fly at high altitudes because conditioned air has been pumped into it. Sitting in his pressurized cockpit, Lieutenant Harris took his Dayton Wright USD-9A up into the sky and brought it down again safely. Do you find those three-act plays go on a bit long for your taste? If so, you'll love Tristan Zara's new piece, Le Cœur de Gaz, The Gas Heart, which received its world premiere at a Dada art exhibition at the Galerie Montaigne in Paris. It's a three-act play, but much shorter than most one-act plays. Unfortunately, as is the wont of these Dadaists, it's also deeply impenetrable. A collection of non-sequiturs punctuated by short ballets and performed by characters named after facial features such as nose and eyebrow. Sample dialogue, "The void drinks the void. Air was born with blue eyes. That's why it endlessly swallows aspirin. You may need a couple yourself." More controversial art, D.H. Lawrence's new novel, Women in Love, has been published in London. The reviewer, W. Charles Pilley, says, "I know dirt when I smell it, and here was dirt in heaps, festering putrid heaps, which smell to high heaven."
I'm a lonesome little bird, looking for a mate. If the right one says a word, I won't hesitate. When she comes flying my way, here's what I'm going to say. Birds of a feather, just you and I, someday together.
A lot of birds are of a feather, which is why the Danish ornithologist from the island of Zealand, Hans Christian Cornelius Mortensen, invented the system of bird ringing, cutting rings from a sheet of aluminium, stamping each with a number, and then attaching each ring to over 6,000 birds. His system has been adopted by ornithologists worldwide. Mr. Mortensen is dead at 64. Luis Maria Drago was the Argentine foreign minister who wrote to Theodore Roosevelt during the Venezuelan blockade by European nations seeking to collect debts owed by that South American country. Senor Drago proposed an addition to the Monroe Doctrine to prohibit the use of force for debt collection in the Western Hemisphere. President Roosevelt agreed and said that foreign powers must henceforth seek U.S. aid in resolving debt issues rather than simply sending the gunboats. Luis Maria Drago is dead at 62. In 1898, Louis de Rougemont claimed in the London press that he had been living among Australian cannibals and their flying wombats for 30 years. Wombats are not known to be airborne, and while the Australians can be uncouth, they are not generally cannibals. Mr. de Rougemont turned out to be a hoaxer, a Swiss man called Henri-Louis Grin, who had been fired by the governor of Western Australia, Sir William Robinson, for being a rather bad butler. Mr. Grant is dead at 73. Roderick MacLean spent the last four decades in a lunatic asylum following his attempt to shoot Queen Victoria at Windsor Station. An Eton schoolboy, the son of the Australian wool magnate Sir Samuel Wilson, prevented the assassination by striking MacLean with his umbrella. The would-be killer had sent Her Majesty some of his poetry and was enraged by what he regarded as the perfunctoriness of her response. He outlived his target by 20 years, but MacLean is now dead at 66. Your World News update. Notwithstanding the messy aftermath of the Great War, Winston Churchill, Britain's colonial secretary, has presented to the House of Commons his plans to create a new independent Arab state in Mesopotamia and to continue, in accordance with the Balfour Declaration, establishing a Jewish state in Palestine. The House of Commons has also been debating the forthcoming Imperial Conference in London. Ministers from the British Dominions, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Newfoundland and South Africa have been watching from the gallery. Viscount Rothermere, the proprietor of the Daily Mail and Daily Mirror newspapers, founded his new political party, the Anti-Waste League, to combat excessive government spending and the continuation of wartime levels of income tax to fund it. In the Westminster St. George's by-election, the Anti-Waste League has just elected its first Member of Parliament, J.M.M. Erskine, who defeated the official coalition unionist candidate, Sir Herbert Jessel, by attacking, quote, the orgy of extravagance which has marked the last few years. They're Just Wild About Hiro, Japan's Crown Prince Hirohito, who has been welcomed by Queen Wilhelmina after his successful visit to Great Britain. Austria has agreed to be subject to the jurisdiction of the Permanent Court of International Justice, the 38th nation to so bind itself. In the United States, President Harding briefly interrupted his golf game in New Jersey to sign the Nox-Porter Peace Resolution, putting an end to the state of war in America. The Harding administration's position has been that as a non-member of the League of Nations, the League's declaration of peace could not bind the United States, and so domestic legislation by Congress was required. The New York Times, among others, has applauded this assertion of national sovereignty. Quote, "War with Germany ended as it began by congressional declaration and executive signature on American soil." Ah, but not all wars are openly declared. Federal agents have raided the ship Eastside in New York's harbor and seized boxes of machine guns, apparently en route to Ireland.
Oh, it's time for parting, and my tears are starting. Leave me with a smile. Though your heart may cry to you when you say goodbye, leave me with a smile. Maybe it's forever, so while we're together for a little while. Hold me like a flower for one little hour and leave me with a smile.
John Henry Williams left with a smile and a cigarette. in Moultrie, Georgia, Williams, a Negro, was found guilty of murdering a 12-year-old white girl. As he was being escorted from the courtroom, he was seized by a mob. A turn of events he appeared to have been expecting, and to whose eventual outcome he seemed reconciled. He was taken to the scene of the crime, where he was burned alive. According to witnesses, an enigmatic smile teased his lips as a match was thrown on the fuel, and he calmly smoked his cigarette as the flames consumed him. Bessie Coleman has become the first Negro to earn an international aviation license, certified by the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale of France. In the United States, women of any race are not permitted in any of the certified flying schools. Georgiana Simpson has become the first Negress to earn a PhD. She was awarded a doctorate in German literature by the University of Chicago for her dissertation, Herder's Conception of Das Volk. Only a day later, Sadie Mossel became the second Negress to receive a PhD in economics from the University of Pennsylvania for her dissertation, The Standard of Living Among 100 Negro Migrant Families in Philadelphia. T.C. Glashan, a supporter of the Universal Negro Improvement Association, has been arrested for inciting a riot and deported to Cuba. The Universal Negro Improvement Association is headed by the self-proclaimed Provisional President of Africa, Marcus Garvey. Mr. Garvey's organization includes its own shipping line, the Black Star Line, named after the White Star Line. In Jamaica, the U.S. Consul has investigated charges made by Mr. Garvey against the captain and chief engineer of his luxury yacht, the Antonio Maceo, after a boiler exploded and killed a crewman on its maiden voyage from New York to Cuba. The American consul has exonerated the men. The largest liner on the seas, and perhaps the most luxurious, the SS Paris, has begun its maiden voyage, leaving Le Havre in France, bound for New York City.
Why, there's a change in the weather, there's a change in the sea. So from now on, there'll be a change in me. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Nothing about me is going to be the same. I'm gonna change my long, long one for a little short back. I'm gonna change my number where I'm living at, because nobody wants you when you're old that way. There's gonna be some changes made today. There'll be some changes made.
There'll be a change in the weather and a change in the sea, and from now on there'll be a change in British Columbia when it comes to your daily tipple. The sale of alcohol had been prohibited in the Canadian province because of the World War, but the government has now begun selling 50-cent permits that allow the purchase of 2 quarts of liquor or 3 gallons of beer. His Majesty's British Columbian subjects will be permitted to buy up to 10 such permits per annum. General José Miguel Gómez was the second president of Cuba. He was very popular with the Cuban people, but corruption flourished and there was a massacre of Afro-Cubans by the Cuban army. General Gomez has died in New York, aged 62. Henry Clay Ide was born in the small town of Barnet, Vermont, and got to experience small town life on the islands of Samoa in the South Pacific when President Benjamin Harrison appointed him America's Land Commissioner and Chief Justice. More recently, he was Governor General of the Philippines. In the Pacific, he became great friends with Robert Louis Stevenson, the famous author of Treasure Island. Mr. Ide's little daughter was sad because she had been born on December the 25th and so never had a birthday that was not part of the family Christmas celebrations. Mr. Stevenson had his lawyer draw up a formal deed, sealed and witnessed, giving her his own birthday of November the 13th, and assuring the wee girl that her father, as a county attorney in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, and as Chief Justice in Samoa, would confirm that it was all legally binding. The ultimate birthday present, the present of a birthday. Mr. Ide is dead in Vermont at the age of 76. Your World News Update. Following their representation and recognition at the 1919-1920 Paris Peace Conference, Prime Ministers of the British Dominions are meeting in London in the more conventional circumstances of an imperial conference. Prime Minister Lloyd George welcomed his colleagues Arthur Meehan of Canada, Billy Hughes of Australia, Bill Massey of New Zealand, and General Smuts of South Africa. For the first time, India was invited, the senior native delegate being the Maharao of Kutch. The principal issue is relations with Japan and the United States, who seem destined for conflict. Australia and New Zealand argue the empire needs a friend in the Pacific, i.e. Japan. Canada is more concerned with its powerful southern neighbour. Aside from presiding over his overseas prime ministers, King George V has been getting to know his newest ministers closer to home in the brand new polity of Northern Ireland, in Belfast. He and the Queen were driven in an open barouche pulled by four grey horses through 3 miles of cheering subjects, both Protestant and Catholic, as even Sinn Féiners conceded. He was there to open the new Parliament at City Hall. "I appeal to all Irishmen to pause," said His Majesty, "to stretch out the hand of forbearance and conciliation, to forgive and to forget, and to join in making for the land which they love a new era of peace, contentment, and goodwill." As to the likelihood of that, even as he was speaking, three magistrates were kidnapped in Dublin.
In her eyes there is the hue of a hilarity. On her cheek there is the rose of Kildare. On her lips just a wee bit of blurry. And the snow of a glory in her hair. Morn, she was cradled and born. In her smile there's a light that's divine. She's as sweet as the day. She's so dead heart away. That old Irish mother.
Ah, that old Irish mother of yours. In her eyes there's a view of Killarney, on her lips there's the Rose of Kildare. Yeah, but where is she officially domiciled for purposes of legal residence? Come to that, is she still with us? It's hard to be sure. For the first time in the history of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, the decennial census will be only partial. England, Scotland, Wales are being enumerated, but not Ireland, because of the increasing violence of the revolutionary uprising. Across the Atlantic, America's Bureau of the Census has announced the official enumeration by race of the United States. There are 94,822,431 whites, 10,463,013 Negroes, 242,959 Indians, 111,025 Japanese, and 61,686 Chinese. Also in the United States, the Mint has resumed the production of silver dollars. Minting of silver dollars ceased at the start of the war in 1914, and 279 million of the existing ones were sold to Great Britain in the course of that war. 75 miles off the coast of Norfolk, Virginia, the Navy, with support from the Army, has given a tremendous display of American air power by dropping 12 bombs from a height of 1,100 feet on Kaiser Wilhelm's former U-boat or submarine. U-117 sank in just under 16 minutes and is the first of several former German vessels scheduled for similar public destruction by Washington. Congress has passed the Army Appropriation Bill, mandating the reduction of America's enlisted soldiery by more than a third, down from 220,000 men to 150,000 in the next 3 months. 70,000 doughboys are headed back to the farm.
You're gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they've seen Harry. How you're gonna keep 'em away from Broadway, jumping around and painting the town? How you're gonna keep 'em away from harm? That's a mystery. They'll never want to see a rake or plow, and who the deuce can polyboo a cow? How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they've seen Harry?
There are some things you want to keep down on the farm. After a dinner party at the home of Joseph Wendling in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, three women are dead. Miss Ella Woodward, a maid in service to Mr. Wendling, died first. Then Mr. Wendling's wife. Despite the efforts of specialists from Pittsburgh and New York, Mrs. Covode Reed, one of the Wendlings' dinner guests, succumbed 2 days later. All three deaths were from botulism traced to one small bottle of olives from a Pittsburgh farm. At its annual conference, the American Library Association has established something called the John Newbery Medal, named for the great 18th century English publisher of children's books, and to be awarded annually to, quote, the most distinguished contribution to American literature for children.
Get up in the morning and I make the coffee roll. Ham and egg turnover, put the crullers in a hole. Get upon a trolley car, the car begins to sway. Sit upon a half a dozen lapses off a day. I walk into the office and I greet the sorter there. Six or seven elevators go up in the air. Sit down at my Remington and syncopate the keys. The fellow by the water stand gets water on the knees. The boss dictates a letter. Dear sir, I'd like to say, the man who gets the letter has to stop and hesitate. And when the day is over and the sun sets in the west, say I'm the only little bird who doesn't go to rest. For I'm a jazz vampire. Take a tip from me, for I am all the evil music has. I stood by the ocean, no one around. Shook my shoulders and the sun went down. For I'm the meanest kind of jazz vampire. I'm the wicked vampire of the jazz.
It's 1921, and there are all kinds of women around these days to startle the menfolk, not just jazz vampires, but also female sportsmen. The first international multi-sports event for women has opened in Monte Carlo. The so-called Women's Olympiad was organized by the French lady athlete Alice Milliat after the announcement by the International Olympic Committee that women would not participate in the next Olympics in 1924. So instead, Madame Milliat invited 100 women from five nations to compete at the 800-meter run, the javelin, the shot put, and other such events in the garden of Monaco's casino. The chaps may find a jazz vampire less disturbing than a lady shot putter. In what remains of male sports news, the International Polo Cup will be returning to America. The United States has defeated the British team at Hurlingham 10-6. It is only 2 years since Ramon Lopez Velarde published what critics regard as his major work, Zozobra. Acclaimed as Mexico's national poet, Señor Velarde is dead just a few days after his 33rd birthday. The official cause is pneumonia. The Boston Globe was founded in 1872 and within a year was facing financial ruin. A Civil War veteran, badly wounded at the Battle of Port Hudson, was brought in as business manager and publisher. Charles Taylor got a grip on the paper, quadrupled its circulation within 3 weeks, and made it the leading daily newspaper in New England. General Taylor, as he was known to one and all, is dead at 74. Your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The crisis in Upper Silesia between Germany and Poland has purportedly been resolved by an agreement signed by British General Henniker Major and Italian General De Marinis on behalf of the Allies defending Poland, and by General Hoffer on behalf of Germany. Both sides have committed themselves to withdrawing their armed forces from the other's territory. Following demands from the Allied Council, the German government has disbanded the paramilitary group Einwohnerwehr, the defense of the citizens. The Bulgar revolutionary Gheorghe Petrov has been assassinated by operatives of the Internal Macedonian Revolutionary Organization, a group Mr. Petrov once headed, back when it was known as the Bulgarian Macedonian Andrianople Revolutionary Committees. Just south of Macedonia and Bulgaria, Greek forces have evacuated the city of Izmit on the Sea of Marmara, which British troops handed over to them just last year. Izmit is now free for the taking by Turkish nationalists. On St. Vitus Day, June the 28th, the Constitutional Assembly of the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes approved the new nation's first constitution. It is already being called the Vidovdan, Feast of St. Vitus Constitution, but it establishes the country as a parliamentary monarchy with a national language of Serbo-Croat-Slovene. This is not a song in that language.
It's all snow there, still men go there, find the pole and then, for some reason, every season, they go back again. Yet these same explorers often lose their way. While they are tramping, maybe the vamping leads them astray. He sighs and whispers, oogie oogie wah wah, oogie oogie wah wah. She sighs and answers, oogie oogie wah wah too. Now don't that sound absurd? Just a crazy word. I don't mean much to you, I know, but it means an awful lot to an Eskimo. And oh boy, they love that oogie oogie wah wah, oogie oogie wah wah. That makes a person curious to know. But you'll get fooled just the way I was, 'cause the word don't mean what you think it does. Oogie oogie wah wah means I want a mama to an Eskimo.
Oogie oogie wah wah means I want a mama to an Eskimo. If you say so, the words do not seem to occur in the latest numbered treaty with Canadian Eskimos, Treaty 11, between King George V and various Eskimo and Indian tribes in Canada's Northwest Territories. His Majesty did not personally attend the initial signing at Fort Providence, just west of the Great Slave Lake, about 3,000 miles from Ottawa, but left it instead to Treaty Commissioner Henry Conroy. Somewhat closer to home for the British monarch, following his opening of the Parliament of Northern Ireland earlier this month, the King chose to leave it to his Lord Lieutenant Viscount Fitzalan to open the new Parliament of Southern Ireland at the Royal College of Science in Dublin. The appointed Senate were all present, but only the four Unionist MPs representing the University of Dublin attended the House of Commons. Having elected Gerald Fitzgibbon to be Speaker, the House adjourned sine die because it lacked a quorum. Republican Sinn Féiners are meeting elsewhere, and the prospects of Southern Ireland's new Parliament are not reckoned to be good. Nevertheless, the government has released multiple Republicans from Mountjoy Prison, including the founder of Sinn Féin, Arthur Griffith. In addition, Prime Minister Lloyd George has invited both Sir James Craig, Loyalist Prime Minister of Northern Ireland, and Eamon de Valera, leader of the Republican side, to London for peace talks. Mr. de Valera has accepted, with conditions. It is not yet known what Sir James's response will be. The British Parliament's Air Navigation and Transport Act has come into effect, regulating all air travel within the British Empire. You may find it safer than alternative modes of transport. 31 passengers are dead on the Australian steamship Fitzroy. After leaving Cuffs Harbour for Sydney, the Fitzroy foundered during a terrible gale off the New South Wales coast.
I can see my mammy, Uncle Sammy, Aunt Jemima Lee. I can see them they pile in that old fricassee. When my sister Mabel sets the table, she picks a place for me. I'll be in Kentucky if I'm lucky with my family. I got the blues for old Kentucky. Oh boy, I feel blue. I long to kiss my family. I miss my daddy too.
Kentucky has got the blues for what happened in just one home near Mayfield. A 35-year-old farmer, Ernest Lawrence, killed 10 members of his own family, 4 adults, 6 children. He then set fire to the house and shot himself. The bodies are so completely burned that they will all fit in a single coffin. Also in America, William Howard Taft, the 27th President of the United States, is now the 10th Chief Justice of the United States and the only man in the history of the Republic to hold both offices. Mr. Taft was nominated by President Harding and confirmed that same day by the Senate, 61-4. What's really bringing me back to California and you is that black gold. Oil has been discovered just south of Los Angeles at Signal Hill. O.P. Happy Yowls hit the oil at about 3,000 feet down, and the blowout collapsed his drilling rig and sent the oil spurting 114 feet into the air. American Telephone and Telegraph, General Electric, the Radio Corporation of America, and Westinghouse Electric Company have agreed to combine their researches into radio broadcasting rather than create rival systems.
It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage, but you look sweet on the seat of the bicycle.
You look sweet upon the seat, but would you mind getting off and giving a chap a sporting chance at winning the Tour de France? The 15th Tour has just begun in Paris. The Belgians are expected to dominate, but one never knows. For the first time, a cyclist from Monaco is among the participants. Also in sports news, Jock Hutchison was born in Scotland, a stone's throw or a decent chip from the links at St Andrews, the oldest golf course in the world and the home of the Open Golf Championship. Mr Hutchison has played golf all his life in Scotland, but eventually moved to the United States. Last year, he won the Professional Golfers Association Championship in America. This year, he won at St. Andrews, but he did so as an American, having taken U.S. citizenship in 1920. Making the same journey in reverse, Lady Randolph Churchill was born Jenny Jerome in Brooklyn. Then, one day, the Prince of Wales introduced her to the third son of the Duke of Marlborough. Lord Randolph and Miss Jerome married, although the bride is said to have taken many lovers, including the King of Serbia and Otto von Bismarck's son. After her husband's death, Lady Randolph remarried and re-remarried. Her last marriage, just 3 years ago, was to a colonial service officer from West Africa, Montague Phippen Porch, who became stepfather to her son, the present colonial secretary, Winston Churchill, even though Mr. Phippen Porch is 3 years younger than Mr. Churchill. Last month, while her husband was away in Africa, Lady Randolph, as she preferred to be styled, notwithstanding her subsequent marriages, slipped while descending a staircase in new high-heeled shoes. She broke her ankle, gangrene set in, her left leg was amputated, and as a result, an artery hemorrhaged in her thigh. Lady Randolph Churchill is dead at the age of 67. And that's the way of the world, June 1921.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.